Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to take a look at St. Paul's letter to the Romans today, chapter 8. First reading at Mass this week, the church is leading us through parts of Romans, and Romans chapter 8, verse 18 through 25 is the reading of the day. But I'd like to begin earlier in the chapter. This is one of the great chapters in the entire Bible, Romans chapter 8. Paul communicates so much here that applies directly to our lives. I guess that could be slightly redundant. I guess everything in the Bible applies to our lives. But what Paul has communicated here in such a beautiful way is what the new life in the Holy Spirit, what it means to all those who are baptized into Christ. And the more we understand it, friends, the more we receive it into our lives and believe it for ourselves and to walk through it, walk in it in faith, the more we come alive in Christ and the more we end up experiencing and living the promises and the realities he said would be a part of what it means to be united to him, what would begin to grow in us and live in us, and in particular, fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, the things that Jesus promised, that we would have a life that would be a life that would be full and filled with joy, even in the midst of difficulties and circumstances that are difficult, and we'd be able to endure with great strength through all kinds of difficult circumstances, knowing that he's with us. So I want to dive into this chapter. We'll probably get at a good part of it today. If not, we'll finish it the rest of it tomorrow. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 8, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's worth stopping there at that first verse to internalize this. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because God, who is rich in mercy, as I said yesterday, out of the great love with which he loved us, sent forth his Son into the world to lay down his life, to break the power of sin and death that's over the human race. God is merciful. And so if we come to him, no matter what, Jesus said to Peter, the apostles, 70 times, 7 times a day, you have a right to come because of your relationship as a child of God that he's established in you, to come before him and to repent. Jesus has taken away the condemnation that the devil wants to hold over your head and mine. So be careful. We're not yet perfect. We fall. We're sinful. What the devil wants to do is he wants us to camp out in discouragement, despair, under his constant condemnation. So when that happens, if you fall, unfortunately, if you fall, repent. Turn your heart to God. If you sin seriously, go to confession and receive from the priest in the person of Christ the forgiveness of Jesus. Jesus does not condemn. He's merciful. And he wants to bring us home ultimately to the Father's house. You're a child of God. You have a relationship with him. And here Paul is telling us to stand in that relationship, those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, he says, for the law of the Spirit of Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Sin and death function like a law, almost parallel, like almost a natural law. We were under a curse. We couldn't get out from under it. And the curse is sin, and sin's consequence, which is death. So it's a power. Death is a power, a disordered energy that really has dominion over the human mind and the human heart and the human will. There's a lot to that I'll speak about more in the days ahead, but this is what Paul's getting at. But now there's a different law in us. It's the law that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, a law that's stronger than death, that swallowed up death in victory, and that destroyed its power. Verse 3, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. Sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemns sin in the flesh. There's a lot Paul is describing here, but essentially what he's saying, the flesh could not overcome the power of sin and death, and therefore our eternal separation from God. That's why Paul described yesterday in Ephesians that we live without hope in the world. We had no hope in an eternal future apart from the person of Jesus. So he sent his Son into the world in the likeness of sinful flesh, flesh like you, flesh like me. He came for sin, that is to put away sin. And he condemned sin in the flesh on the cross. Sin was condemned, not you, not me, but sin itself was condemned on the cross of Jesus Christ. In order, Paul says, that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. What's the just requirement of the law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus gave to God what belonged to God. He did justice to God. He did what we were all made to do. And sin must be condemned is also another dimension of it. God's just judgment over sin is right. It's good. It needs to happen. And we stood guilty before God. But Jesus became one of us, died on our behalf, and put away sin and became a sacrifice for sin. He said, in order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now we can actually fill the law full. We can fulfill the law. How? By the presence of the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead in your life and in mine, in your heart and in mine. The prophets promised in the coming of the Messiah that God's plan was to give us a new heart and a new capacity from the core of our being to agree with God's purpose and plan. To walk now, not under the dominion of the power of sin and death, but to walk in and under a new power, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, and the Holy Spirit, who is, the saints would describe, as the new law. It's the law of love in your heart and mind, if you're baptized into Christ, that empowers us and makes it possible for us now to live a new way of life and to give to God what belongs to God from the very core of our being. For those who live according to the flesh, Paul said, set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, the things of the flesh. What Jesus described when the apostles asked them if, you know, food and the Pharisees, if certain foods they ate would make them unclean. And Jesus said, it's not what comes from without that makes a man unclean, but what comes from within. And he pointed out sins, anger, bitterness, rivalry, jealousy, lust, hatred, unforgiveness. All these things are fleshly. They're the works of the fallen condition of the human heart, the sin-sick condition of the human heart. But now we're given a new heart, a new capacity in the Spirit, Paul said, and we're now capable of lifting our minds and lifting our hearts to the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father and no longer being under the dominion of the works of the flesh. To set the mind on the flesh is death, Paul said. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Paul will say in another place, or the writer of Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please God. What is faith? It's that radical abandonment of our entire life in trust to God, saying yes to the offer of salvation given to us in the person of Jesus, the offer of becoming a child of God in baptism and having stain of original sin taken from us, able now by God's work, by God's action, to come into a new relationship with him, and in baptism to be made right in our relationship with God, to be made just, to be able to stand before him as a child of God, as a member of the household of God we spoke about yesterday. If your mind is set on the flesh, that is the list of things and more that I talked about earlier, basically my will be done, we set ourselves against thy will be done, against God and surrendering to God's will. That's the old nature. The old nature doesn't trust God, still living in the garden after the fall, not living with a renewed heart that is the heart of a trusting child in the presence and in a relationship with a loving father. So the heart of flesh, the heart that says no to God's will, is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Those who are in the flesh, therefore, can't please God. And God made us to live in a relationship with him that would be pleasing to him, pleasing to us, because it would align us and rightly order us to the very thing for which we're made. We become whole, we become integrated, and we would experience the pleasure of God as we live as his children. Verse 9. But you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God really dwells in you. This is the gift that is given to us in baptism. This is why, friends, Christianity is different than every other religion on the face of the earth. It's the religion, first of all, that begins in the heart of God, that a loving father that goes to seek those who are lost, his children who need rescue, who need to be brought home and need to be brought from, as Paul said yesterday, we read in Ephesians 2, from death to life, under the dominion of sin and death, now brought into a new life. And what's the new life? It's the Christ life. It's the life that's in Jesus. It's the life, eternal life, the divine life that raised Jesus from the dead. We now get a share in that life because Jesus became one of us and he united divine life in his person, in his body. It's great news, friends. It is the best. It's what we've been given. It's the core, the dignity of what it means to be a child of God. And only Jesus can give this. That's why no other religion can produce this. It comes from Christ. As Jesus himself said, the Father has given him the power to give a share in his indestructible life to all those he desires to give it to. This is verse 11, chapter 8 from Romans. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and that is everybody who's baptized has received the Spirit of Jesus, so we become temples of the holy living God. He goes on, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the promise of eternal life. This is your destiny. This is my destiny. This is what is really at the heart of Christianity. Christianity is the resurrection of the dead. It's the resurrection of Jesus. It's the new life, the new creation that's begun in the person of Jesus Christ. It's life beyond death. It's existence beyond death, in God, with God, in absolute total freedom and joy. Because it's possible, because in the miracle of baptism, we're united to the person of Jesus Christ who has won this for us, who now dwells in this reality and has all power in heaven and earth and can give us all a share in it. He says, so then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. We don't have to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So our fallen human nature, which is not yet perfected, not yet fully released, which is what today's reading talks about, that the church gives us at Mass, said, there is a groaning in all of creation, in human beings, and in all of creation, longing for its ultimate fulfillment. That is, for God to release it in allowing us to enter fully into the kingdom of God, with no limitation, with no barrier whatsoever. So Paul is very clear here. He said, be careful. If you continue to say yes to your own willfulness, to the work of the flesh in you, he said, it's going to end up in death. Because the flesh is that dimension in us that says no to God. Me first, you second, or whatever. God third, fourth, or fifth in our life. We're meant to give to God what belongs to God. Primacy in everything belongs to him. It belongs to Christ. And what it means to be human, what we're made for, where we're going to find ultimate happiness is to put first things first and to be able to give to God what belongs to God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, Paul says, are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received a spirit of sonship that cries out, Abba, Father. The Spirit of Jesus, the Son of God, that cries out, Father, Abba, that Spirit is now given to you because you're a child of God and you inherit all that comes to the children of God. Friends, that is good news. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.